This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, Manweb's weekly SME show highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. Now, earlier this year, the Auditor General's Office released the outcomes of the 2021 and 2022 local government audit. The general report looking at the financial performance of municipalities found that only 38 of the country's 257 audited municipalities received clean audits. Auditor General Tsakani Maluleke described the situation at local government as being characterized by dysfunctional municipalities, financial mismanagement, council and administrative instability, and crumbling municipal infrastructure. The Small Business Institute took on the task of commissioning research on this very topic to better understand the direct cost of this dysfunction on small businesses. This week, at the Institute's first SME Indaba post-COVID, the SBI released its research findings in a report titled The Real Cost of Municipal Dysfunction on Small Businesses. In a nutshell, the findings align with the Auditor General's diagnosis, with the study concluding that corruption, poor skills at municipalities, as well as political interference and instability, were at the crux of the dysfunction found in the country's municipalities. Now, I had the chance to speak to the CEO of the Small Business Institute, John Lulu, about how exactly municipal dysfunction is impacting small businesses. I further got the chance to probe him on the proposed solutions to the problem. Here is how that conversation went. Thank you for joining me on the Small Business Conversations podcast, John.
Thank you very much for inviting us, and thank you for attending our Indaba.
It's a pleasure and definitely insightful conversation that's happening here today. We are here today, of course, to get a better understanding of how dysfunction at the municipal level is affecting small businesses operating within our economy. And my takeaway from the presentation today is that corruption, political instability and interference, as well as poor skills among government officials, are the main drivers and possibly causes of the dysfunction seen at the local government level. Is that correct? And if so, how deep does the dysfunction go?
Yeah, I think you've summed it up very nicely. And of course, I think what we haven't really focused on, and we deliberately did not want to focus on, the quantitative survey, because we get that every year from the Auditor General's reports. What we wanted to do with the study that we had, which was conducted by Dr. Tami Mazwai of Mtia Dynamics, an expert on SMEs, used to be the advisor to the Minister of Small Business Development, was to focus on the lived experiences of SME owners. And I mean, one of the surprises for me was twofold. The first one is the incidence of corruption. At 10%, I think we really are not. This is surprisingly lower than what we hear from an anecdotal evidence from people. As I was coming out of the Indaba now, I was approached by a small business owner who was complaining about corruption. Now, we get the calls almost every other day about, I have done the work, and I can't get paid. Even though I've got a contract, I still have to pay someone to release my invoice. I mean, the other biggest concern that we hear is the element of fear, that people who spoke to Dr. Mazwai and his team, most of them would sort of say to Dr. Mazwai, please don't quote me, but this is what we are going through. So we now have a relationship of fear and intimidation. That's not the kind of environment we want. We want a relationship, first, that from a local government perspective, it must be driven by the spirit of Batupili. We are there to serve people. We should not be fearing our government. We should, when we see our government, we should feel safer. But right now, we are having an environment where our SME owners are living in fear of reprisals, victimization. I think someone was talking about you take someone to court for not releasing your permits or giving your permits on time. And once the court rules against them, you have to go back and face this person.
Yeah.
It's almost like double victimization. So it's a fairly untenable environment, but you did sum it up very well.
Mm.
Those are the takeaways from the research.
And how widespread then is the problem across the country? Is it a matter of big metros, or is it those small ones that kind of get pushed to the side, if I can say?
I think the problem is encapsulated in the Auditor General's report, which says 90% of our municipalities are not able to file a clean audit for themselves and their entities that belong to them, whether it's a power utility or water utility. So it's quite widespread. We only have 10% that are fairly stable. That's why we invited Mr. Peter Teixeira, the mayor of Midval, to come and share lessons about what they got right. So the problem is quite widespread throughout the country, and obviously disproportionately felt by rural municipalities as well as the township municipalities, where the rates and taxes and revenue is quite low. What's happening in the metros? Yes, in the metros, I think you still have quite a lot of services that are really decent. There's a little bit of service delivery, but you've got the burden of informal settlements where bulk services are not reaching that area. So the problem is quite widespread.
Mm. I just want to bounce this off you and see what your response is to this. Is it maybe the fact that in the big metros, the reason why the impact is not as widely felt by small businesses, the fact that there is big business and private players playing their role into creating a better environment and actually speaking up against government for the dysfunction, whereas maybe in the rural municipalities, there isn't as much investment from the private sector to kind of push government or leverage their support in order to get government to start moving as they should.
Yeah, you're quite correct. So, for example, you have not only the litigation that big metros, that big companies can litigate. And obviously, that's the luxury that small businesses do not have to litigate and take government to court. But the beneficiaries out of the litigation are the citizens and residents, as well as small business owners. So that's the beauty and small advantage that the metros have. And then, of course, you've got big business, which is taking over some of the functions that government is providing. And you also have initiatives such as TAMDEF, the Technical Assistance and Mentoring Development Initiative by the Small National Business Initiative, which was part and parcel of the Job Summit of 2019 by the president, that business would do this. What it does do is it takes a bunch of engineers and business pays for them and retired chartered accountants, and they are there to capacitate municipalities. So the beauty with that is that it benefits metros and the secondary cities. So, for example, it would be active in the city of Eteguini and active in Pietermaritzburg. But you go to the far-flung municipalities, the small ones, that help is not arriving there. It's easy to see why it is not going there, because big businesses are not operating from there. Mm-hmm. They tend to be around where bulk infrastructure is operational and available, mm-hmm. not in the rural areas, not certainly not in the townships.
So how then do we support those SMEs in those rural areas and townships that don't have the pleasure or the luxury of building relationships with big business that exists in those areas? I mean, we know with the filling of potholes in the city of Johannesburg and businesses now talking about powering up traffic lights to ensure that there's a flow of traffic around their infrastructure, that big business has a role to play. But then obviously, like you mentioned, that's not the same case for small businesses in rural areas. I'm just wondering, how possible is it to help them, if at all, to be able to subsidize the service delivery in their areas?
Yeah, threefold. The first one, obviously, is to extend this initiative, such as TAMDEF, a small town regeneration effort and what SALGA is doing. Mr. Mzamo Gwala was talking about some of the initiatives that SALGA has got in place. So that's the first part. The second part, which makes me very nervous, and is to extend a plea to big business and the private sector to roll out some of the initiatives that they are doing through initiatives such as Business for South Africa, which is addressing the crime and corruption crisis, the freight logistics and transport crisis, and thirdly, of course, the electricity crisis, to extend it to smaller towns and the rural areas. I am aware that this is an extra tax on business, but our house is on fire. We cannot sit by and say this is only for government. We know government just does not have capacity to fulfill all those responsibilities. So my appeal would be to sort of extend some of this helping hand to secondary cities as well as the rural areas. This is an act of patriotism on business side. We can't leave anyone behind. And then, of course, the last part I think that Dr. Mazwai referred to is the full throttle implementation of the district delivery model, which is a partnership between smaller towns, smaller municipalities, and bigger municipalities. We have to capacitate that and roll it out. It's still at its infancy, but it holds out promise. And then a coordinated effort among different agencies of government.
Obviously, that's like plans that can be rolled out in the future and are being rolled out. So the result of it may not be felt immediately. I'm just thinking now for the businesses that are operating currently in these circumstances, what are the consequences, the real-time consequences for them as they wait for solutions from private players, from government, from other big metros?
Akona, you know, you'd be very surprised about how resilient, innovative our small businesses are. And some of them are already trying to pivot around these problems through innovation and partnering with the big suppliers. So, for example, if you go to the area of the Vaal, there are three, four big corporates there. And those corporates are doing phenomenal work in trying to capacitate, in trying to alleviate the plight of small business owners. So what we are asking is, they were asking for this to be the order of the day, to be rolled out across the length and breadth of our country. Obviously, there are new initiatives that both the private sector and government are rolling out to try and alleviate the situation. Those, fortunately, the private sector ones are already in the implementation stage, and then government is sort of following through. But our small business owners are very imaginative and they're very resilient. What we're seeing partnerships, and we're hearing some fairly positive stories from the ground. I mean, this environment, the first thing to go are jobs. And we've been very impressed that the small business segment, small business owners have sort of held back on that, cutting jobs. Yeah. So we really have to reach out to them and assist them so that they hold on some more. It's good that the Reserve Bank has sort of paused the rise of interest rates. That's a very big relief. Hopefully we are at the end of the peak season.
Well, and in this on saying we might just not be, we might have just another race, but I'm just a journalist. What I'm hearing from what you've said and conversations that we've had previously on the podcast, generally as a country, is that we're seeing a lot of businesses having to subsidize government's role. Yeah. And I am just wondering if this is the attitude moving forward and businesses are just having to take on what should be done by government and what they are paying for in terms of municipal rates, for government to do, what then becomes the role of government in the future in solving the problem? Are we going to have to, at some point, just be independent of government and just rely on them for permits and then we're not asking much of them? What does government fit into the picture in future?
It's a double-edged sword. We are very concerned. I'm very concerned personally that there's a very perverse incentive for government to sort of relax, rest on its laurels, because business is picking up the bait and fulfilling some of the services that are supposed to be fulfilled by government. I mean, the three areas, for example, or four areas that are currently being addressed by Business for South Africa fall squarely within the province of government. Crime and corruption, freight logistics and transport, energy, job creation is the new one that business has just taken on as well. So there is a perverse incentive that our taxes, there is no incentive to sort of stop the desaving. However, here's the other side. The other side is that we have one country, we live in this country, we are in this together. We may not have created the problems, but the problems affect all of us. Our house is on fire. What do we do with business having buckets of water? Do they turn a blind eye on this, look the other way and say, this is government, you got us here, please dig us out, or you douse out the fire? And I think it's very admirable that business has decided to douse out the fire instead of the blame game. And hopefully we address the critical problem that we all know about, the lack of capacity in the state, professionalism, skills, and then obviously the pandemic of corruption. Hopefully we use this breather that's created by Business for South Africa to create this capacity. And it's very important, I think, to make the point that what business is doing is doing this for the country. We are not doing this for one political party. We're doing it for government, which is government for everyone. What we should guard against, though, is we should guard against what this is doing to the cost of doing business, that it raises the cost of doing business in the country. We pay taxes, corporate taxes, individual taxes, personal taxes. And then over and above that, we have these resources which are being mobilized from the business sector to try and assist in solving those problems.
And on that note, I mean, the fear aspect of it, in the presentation now and the session, there was mention on the construction mafia, and we know that to be a big issue. We've covered it as well on MoneyWeb and how it's infiltrating communities and businesses. And I'm wondering, what is the risk of dysfunction for the creation of alternative governance systems that are rogue governance systems? And what then becomes the impact for or incentive for small businesses to remain in business and to continue creating the jobs that we so desperately need as a country? How do we balance being fearful of rogue governance systems coming in and keeping incentive for businesses to continue operating?
Yeah, touch wood. Thankfully, up until now, we've had a situation where the mafia have targeted big businesses, your manufacturing sector, the mining companies. There was a shift, for example, that came from nowhere and mined the whole night while some armed people prevented the lawful shift from going underground. So small businesses have been spared for now, and I hope that continues, but not for too long. The incidence of corruption and criminality, lawlessness and disorder is just so rampant in our country. What do we need here? I think we need the partnership. The work that is being done on crime and corruption workstream is still at its infancy, but it promises. There's quite a lot of experts who have come onto the workstream chaired by Mr. Yanni Durant and Neil Froneman from Sibanye Stillwater Group. That holds a promise that we can arrest this mafia problem. And then there's the role of business associations like ourselves, Small Business Institute, Business Unity South Africa, and the chambers at city level, town level, working with law enforcement agencies to try and stem the tide of these mafia businesses. I mean, I don't think it's only limited to KZN, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape. It is across the country. We are not imagining the problem. We are seeing and experiencing the problem. It is happening. We know about it.
And lastly, John, just touching on the elephant in the room, I mean, political instability is a big problem. And we've seen it happening in the city of Johannesburg, I think a couple of months ago, where every week we were having a new mayor. And we're seeing it now in the city of Tshwane with that strike happening there and the city saying they don't have the money to pay. And just a lot of dynamics happening in terms of coalition governments and that creating political instability. My question becomes, we know that there have been conversations around national government and possibly having a coalition government next year when we go to the polls. And I'm wondering how that then plays into national government on a broader level trying to solve the problem. If we're seeing coalition governments causing such instability at local government level, what then is to be said for national government next year for small businesses?
Yeah, I mean, the lesson from metros and secondary city municipalities is quite distressing and disturbing. And it requires a political solution. How does that look like? It looks like the following. It's almost criminal and immoral for a party to lose power. Because people have not voted for that party, or have voted against that party. And through some elite pacting, that party comes back to run a municipality by having an agreement with another political party. There's an agreement between political parties. It's not an agreement between citizens, residents, and the political party or the council. That is wrong. So we have to make it incredibly difficult, not as easy as it is, to call these motions of no confidence. Right now, the threshold is a simple majority. We have to make it incredibly difficult. That will instill a bit of stability. So we go to the national government situation. I think the national government situation is also concerning the prospects of a coalition government. We just don't have it. We had it right at the beginning of the year of our democracy, almost 30 years ago, through the government of national unity. That worked well. It worked well because of two things. The maturity of the political players at the time, your Nelson Mandela's of the world, and the leadership at the time. That's what's missing right now. We have fairly inexperienced leaders. We have political immaturity. We have got grandstanding. But I'm very encouraged by the fact that at least this is front and center of all the political party leaders. We would have seen the so-called moonshot pacts or the new multi-party charter players visiting Europe to go and learn about coalitions. So it gives me a sense of encouragement that at least we know that we have a problem, and that we'll do all we can to address that problem. Because if you look at a local government level, the consequences have been quite disastrous. What has happened is the municipalities, the metros, which have got borrowing powers, that power has just eroded. It's not there. They are not credit worthy. They cannot go to the credit debt capital markets to borrow anything. Now imagine if the instability discouraged lenders from lending to the national government. Where would we be? Disaster.
So a lot of questions that need to be answered just before that 2024 poll that we have ahead of us. Well, thank you so much, John, for speaking to me. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming as well.
And there you have it, John Lulu of the Small Business Institute, putting into context their latest research looking at how dysfunction at municipalities is impacting small businesses. Also there, he's offering the possible solutions to the problem, which ultimately involves a lot more resilience from small businesses, as well as greater partnerships between the public and private sectors. This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
If you enjoyed this episode, download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.